Thank you, Dan, and thanks to each of you for taking the time to come and be with us today. And we appreciate so much your interest in these things that have to do with the gospel of Christ, and that we have food for the body and food for the soul at the same time, and we hope that that will be very helpful. As has been announced, we'll be speaking today and tomorrow on your faith, and then the last 2 days on your hope. And those are very important themes that one who loves God and loves his fellow man and loves Jesus Christ must be interested in, because those three are mentioned as being supreme, and they need to be in our lives. Faith is described in Hebrews 11 as the substance of things hoped for and the assurance of things not seen. Faith has to do with our lives being lived in trust to God. And there are some people who look upon faith as if it's blind faith. Some today speak of blind faith and enlightened reason. But is that really the truth? Reason is a wondrous power, but it just about as often gets us into trouble as it keeps us out of it, especially when we do not reason properly. And when it comes to the Word of God, we ought to reason upon those things that are righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, as Paul did whenever he was dealing with Agrippa. And we need that just as well for our lives. And reason, while it's wondrous in some realms, is not the kind of thing that we need to go by when it comes to our lives of religion. In religion, there are many people who do not realize the limits of reason. And while reason serves to give us the opportunity of increasing our faith as we hear the Word of God, at the same time, it has its limits. And we ought to realize that. Reason has the limit because of the fact that we're not to walk by it when it comes to the Word of God. We rather walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 declares. That means that we are to walk by our trust in God and in his will, and to be like the Apostle Paul, who said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer," when he was on a ship that had encountered a huge storm. And he said, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God." God had told him that nobody would be lost from that ship if they would do what he had commanded them to do. And he said, "I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." And that's the kind of reason we need. And we must realize that some speak of blind faith and enlightened reason. But actually, the history of the world will teach us the very opposite. When it comes to our religion, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Some speak of blind faith and enlightened reason, but God's history points out that the opposite is really the case. We are not living in a world that is able to reason itself into heaven. It can't do that by depending upon human reason. We have to depend upon God's wisdom that he has revealed. And it's not blind faith and enlightened reason, like some try to speak of it. They try to speak of the idea that faith is a leap in the dark, but it isn't that at all. It's a walk in the light. John points out that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. And thus, it's that kind of walk in the light that God wants us to have with him. So, Mark 11 and verse 22 said that Jesus encouraged his disciples to have faith in God. That's what all of us need. But what about your faith in God? To what extent is it able to lead you? The Bible speaks about some who had little faith. Even the disciples on some occasions had little faith. But a parallel passage to Matthew's statement about their little faith says in Mark 4 and verse 14 and verse 40, "How is it that you have no faith?" So sometimes a little faith is not enough to do you any privilege or benefit whatsoever. We have to have great faith if we expect to accomplish the things that the Lord wants us to do. So the disciples came to Jesus in Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. And they said, "Lord, increase our faith." They realized that their faith could grow. Faith is sort of like riding a bicycle uphill. You have to keep pedaling or get off, one or the other. You're going to fall if you don't keep pedaling. And faith is like that. So Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, the third verse, and he thanks God for these Christians in Thessalonica, because that your faith is growing exceedingly. Their faith had increased exceedingly. And that's what God wants our faith to be. That kind of faith in God. And we can pray, as did the disciples, "Lord, increase our faith." But that can be done only if we realize where your faith and mine depends upon that growth. It only comes through the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ," or the Word of God. And hence we have the fact that our faith depends upon our hearing the Word. And then when we hear the Word and believe it, we must obey it, because faith includes obedience to the Lord. Remember that the definition that Thayer gives in his lexicon of the word that's translated faith from the Greek language, the word is pistis, and that word means a conviction full of joyful trust that Jesus is the Messiah, conjoined with obedience. And hence, we have passages that in the King James translation may mention belief, but in other translations, especially the modern speech translations that are seeking to give greater light upon some of these Greek terms, point out that it means obedience. Like John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life," says the King James translation. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life." But it means obedience, and so the American Standard Version and many of the modern speech translations say that it says, "You must believe on the Son of God," but that requires obedience. It declares that you have dependent trust in God and that you must obey the Son in order to have life. And that's the meaning of the term. And we find it in so many passages, like Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, but it's not enough just to believe that God exists. That's only one proposition, and this passage mentions two propositions that we must believe. And so he says that without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So it takes a diligent seeking of God through His Word and obedience to that Word in order to be saved. That's why James would say, "Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." And of course, you know that it's an impossibility. For faith without obedience to God to be blessed to our lives. And therefore, James, the second chapter, deals with this. And he says, beginning with verse 14, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" The kind of faith that's apart from works of obedience to God can't save. And hence he goes on and says, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." That's the only time the word faith only is found in the Bible. And it says that it's not by faith only that we're justified. Some try to get around the force of James' statement. Even Martin Luther called James' writings a very strawy epistle. But it's not that. It is the truth of God. And James, the brother of our Lord, writes that statement. And he does so by inspiration. And he says that we're justified by an obedient faith and not by faith only. And that statement from James 2 and verse 19 to 24 is a very important statement. And some try to get around it by saying, well, that just means being justified before men, not justified before God. Well, that's not true. Remember that verse 14 starts the discussion by saying, "What doth it profit, though a man have say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him?" Uses the very word save. And if we want to be saved, our faith has to obey. And hence we read in Hebrews the 5th chapter, verse 7 to 9, that Christ became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Faith includes obedience. It is that assurance full of joyful trust that Jesus is the Christ combined with obedience. That very meaning of the word shows that the kind of faith that saves is the faith that obeys. Now, what about your faith? Do you have that kind of faith that is growing exceedingly? Are you able to pray to the Lord and say, "Lord, increase my faith"? We ought to. Sometimes people pray, "Lord, increase my knowledge," or "Lord, increase my material wealth." But what we ought to be praying for is, "Lord, increase our faith," like the disciples did in Luke 17 and verse 5. Because without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. Have faith in God as Jesus said in that encouraging statement in Mark 11 and verse 22. And may that be the source of strength for your life in all times. Tomorrow morning, I want us to look at some things that faith can accomplish for us as we live a victorious life in Christ.